Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 28, Upgrade, Uplift, Upright. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on June 24th, 2018.
It's a really, really great time to praise God and worship God together and to be encouraged to keep going for God and keep ministering out of what God has put in our lives, to put them into the lives of others, really to give them hope and encouragement and a place to step into the blessing and the anointing of God. Also, that's just coming down from last week or week before when we were in Jerusalem at the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast with a lot of great people from all around the world, more than 600, what was 640 delegates from 70 nations came together to pray over Jerusalem, over Israel, and over the nations of the world for their nations. And by the way, Indiana was well represented because three of our state senators from here in Indiana, senators and representatives were there, as well as other people from Indiana were there. We just didn't know they were coming, but we ran into them. And going to have Rivka put up this clip from the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. You can just get a little taste of it, and then we'll go on and do our into the message. So you can just put that up. Praise the Lord. But Indiana was well represented. This lady is from Indiana. She's a representative.
Oh God, be bountiful to us and bless us. Shine the light of your countenance upon us and have mercy on us, that we may know your way upon the earth and your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples give thanks to you, O God. Let all the people give thanks to you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nation upon the earth. Let the peoples give thanks to you, O God. Let all the people give thanks to you. The earth has yielded its fruit. Let God, our God, bless us. Let God bless us, and let all the ends of earth fear him.
Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1, reading from verse 4. Nehemiah prayed for the people of Israel. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Hallelujah. What a great God and terrible God that kept covenant and mercy for them that loved him and observed his commandments. Let our ear now be attentive and our eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandment, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, with thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nation. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandment and do them, though they were from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set thy name there. Now, These are the servants of thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand, O Lord. I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cup bearer. Thank you.
It's my great honor to invite right now pastors Vasily Bityuk, Kyle Martin, Sharon Dougherty, Jared Thexton, Steve Berger, Jim and Rosemary Gallo, and Randy Nelson to pray as we do Jerusalem prayer breakfast.
I will pray in Russian. We use different language, but we have one spirit. Let's pray. Бог Авраама, Исаака и Якова. Спасибо тебе за это особое время. Спасибо тебе, что мы вместе здесь и в единстве. Мы вместе, потому что мы любим Израиль. Мы молимся тебе, потому что мы знаем, что ты возлюбил Израиль. Ты являл много чудес на этой земле и своему народу. Ты Бог чудес, и мы молимся о чудесах для этого времени и для грядущих дней. Яви свою силу, яви свою славу. Мы молимся сейчас, Господь. Излей благословение на Израиль. Принеси мир в Иерусалим. Аминь.
Father, we wonder, we praise you at what you've done over the 70 years here in this land, your land of Israel, your people, Lord, the seed of Abraham. We're so grateful, Father, that you have allowed us to come into covenant with you through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our faith, the faith of Abraham. And tonight we decree, you said if we decree a thing, it would be established. So we decree tonight that your kingdom come, your will be done here in the nation of Israel. And we decree that no weapon formed against this nation can prosper. No missiles, no nuclear weapons can prosper or succeed against the nation of Israel. We decree it. We decree that no tongue that would rise against them in judgment. We decree that it is condemned, it is proven wrong. And Lord, media that have spoken in negative ways, we declare it's proven wrong. We thank you tonight that as we pray that you hear our prayers, and Lord, that our prayers bring your will here in the earth, Lord, together as we unite, Lord, for this land.
Father, we just come before you tonight and ask one simple thing, that we would become ambassadors for you. That we would be willing to speak on behalf of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God, you would raise up voices in this room, and that we would pursue the prophetic. And God, as we pursue the prophetic, if we don't, God, I ask that you'd allow the message, the word of God, to burn in our hearts until we can't contain it. Father, release the fire of God inside each one of us. And God, do it in such a way that draws people to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise Father, the Lord. As we celebrate all that you're doing.
There's many more prayers like that. The prayer meeting went from 7 in the morning to almost noon with people praying and bringing the word over the nation of Israel and over the nations. What an amazing, amazing day we live in. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you, continuing and finishing actually, the subject of upgrade, uplift, and upright. I was reading in the newspaper this week about the world that we live in. One of the articles, former Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murphy brought mental health to the forefront last September when he wrote in the Harvard Business Review that loneliness is a growing health epidemic. He says in his report, nearly half of the Americans
report sometimes or always feeling lonely, 46%. Others feel left out, 47%. One in four Americans, 27%, rarely or never feel as though there were people who really understand them. Two in five Americans sometimes or always feel that their relationships are not meaningful, 43%. And that they are isolated from others, 43%. One in five people report that they rarely or never feel close to people, 20%. Or feel like there are people that they can talk to, 18%. That's from a recent survey by a health service company, Cigna. Probably you recognize the name of the insurance company. That shows that many Americans say that sometimes or they always feel alone. So that's really a picture of the world of opportunity that we have, that we live in. Because where people are alone or where they're lonely, they obviously have never found Jesus, the friend who will never leave them, never forsake them, the one that sticks closer to them than a brother could stick to them. So today we're talking upgrade, uplift, and how to live out being upright in an upside down world. In Acts chapter 8, we find the story of Philip who, during the time that the Christians, the believers, were scattered and went out of the city of Jerusalem, they went preaching the gospel. The Bible says that they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. Philip went to Samaria. In Samaria, the Bible says there was great joy in the city, miracles, healings, salvations, baptisms, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. All of that was happening when Philip began to preach the gospel. Earlier in Acts chapter 5, we're told the story of Peter, how even his shadow falling on people would bring healing to them. And the Bible says believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. What an amazing time. But you know, it didn't stop in the book of Acts. It didn't stop with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It didn't stop when Jesus died and rose from the dead and went back to be with his Father. It really actually increased because the Bible said that in that time, when Jesus went back, he could send to us another comforter, one who would bring to us encouragement and comfort in such a way that we could minister into the lives of other people in amazing ways, just like they did in the book of Acts. They believed what he said when he went back, that he would send that comforter. And when the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that they went, that they would have power to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So really none of that has ever changed. Maybe the church has changed its attitude about those things, but that has never changed because Jesus is still sending people to the ends of the earth with the good news that he's alive, with the good news that he's still the healer, he's still the deliverer, he's the one who solves your problems, takes care of your situations, heals and brings reconciliation into families, homes, and groups of people. He's an amazing, amazing Savior. So this morning, the emphasis really is on influence. You know, we began speaking a while back about this. We've had several different people ministering on it. We talked about integrity. Enoch brought a message on integrity, and then Sarah on intimacy, and then last week my brother Don spoke on integrity. So this morning I'm going to speak a little bit about influence. So we're talking about the kind of the four I's, just kind of a way to remember how to uplift, upgrade, and be upright. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk about first. Love is influence. So if you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, already several here, as we've just gotten together, have talked about love. Cheryl was ministering about love and speaking about it in a really, really graphic way that we could understand. But in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another." That's easy, of course, right? For love comes from God. If we recognize where love comes from, then it's easier to do what we're supposed to do. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue." So don't stop. Let's continue. "Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, sometimes we think God has love, but the reality is that God is love. And that love lives in you. He is the God of love who lives inside of you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord, when you come to the Father through Him, all of the love that's in His heart begins to reside in you. That's what changes your attitudes. That's what changes your mind frame. That's what changes your view of people. So all of those lonely people, they could experience this kind of love, this kind of presence of God in their lives that would be transforming the way they think, the way they act towards others, the way they live their lives out. It's an amazing thing. Verse 9 says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. The greatest gift that anyone could ever receive is eternal life through Jesus Christ, Amen. The living Son of God, the one who is the game changer for the world of man, the world of humanity, who's hurting, lost, and lonely. Verse 10, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. It's the best news of the world, because all the other religions, they make a way for you to have to work your way to some kind of state in order to please a God that you can never please. Some false God, some kind of God that you've made up with your own imagination. A God of your own liking, of your own creation. Somehow you can please that God, but then you can never please Him because nobody's ever good enough. But the God we serve, this is the real God, the real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to take away our sins. He did it all for us so that we could love Him, walk with Him, and become those who are the upright. So it's about upgrading. Yes, it's about uplifting. But then it's about understanding that through the love of God, you become the upright, because He took your sins in His own body on the tree, so that you could be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. It's wonderful to understand and to be able to receive a revelation of the love of God, how His compassion is poured out towards people so that they can live a life that's pleasing to Him, and a life of having received forgiveness and healing and deliverance from all the clutches of Satan. Now, of course, we don't do that perfectly, but the good news is the God who sent Jesus never gives up on you, Amen. Never leaves you, never forsakes you, so that you can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. So let's say that together. The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper today.
The Lord is my helper today.
The God of love lives inside of me.
The God of love lives inside of
the
me.
The God who is love lives inside of me. He's my helper.
He is my helper.
Verse 11 says, then, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. You know, when you go out with Revive, do the wristbands, and they share the scriptures with people, one of the things that we always do in the training meetings is just to talk about the concept of loving people, listening to people, discerning, and then responding. That's what this is all about. It's about reaching people. It's about reaching those lonely ones. Last week when we went out, was that last week? Everything's kind of come together here. Last week when we went out, there were many, many opportunities really to minister the love of Jesus into the lives of lonely people. You know, some people were desperate. The last gentleman that Sarah and I ministered to, lonely and desperate, lost, just needed someone to bring some hope. And sometimes, you know, you look at people and you think, I don't know if I have it in me to do this. But God loves that person, loved that person so much that He sent Jesus. So when we're talking about upgrade, uplift, upright, We're talking about ministering that kind of life into the lonely world that we live in. I mean, just think about it. All those percentages of people, half of Americans are lonely. Why should they be lonely? I mean, well, maybe they're looking at the wrong thing, looking at the wrong place to find fulfillment, to find happiness, and to find relationship. But God will change the life of a person so that they can receive and love and begin to live a life that's wonderful and that's awesome and that has many opportunities to share that with others. Wouldn't it be great if the love of God consumed us so much and permeated our lives so much that every relationship, as well as every casual contact that we have, was impacted by the presence of God? Wouldn't that be awesome? If just, you know, you walk into somebody's presence and the love of God that's in you just jumps on them. Just melts their deal, you know? Praise the Lord. We can aspire to that and we can hope for that because the God of all hope lives inside of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the healing presence of Jesus. It's the joy that was in the city when Philip preached in Samaria. It was the remarkable, unmistakable joy that came when they saw healings and miracles and all of these kinds of things happening. You know, sometimes we feel so inadequate when we're in the presence of somebody who has great needs. But the God who has all of the supply lives inside of you, and you can't imagine what He would do just with a touch, just with a kind word, just with a look of love, of compassion, that can melt the hardest heart, that can heal the greatest and deepest wound. Jesus is a healer. He's the deliverer. He's the Savior. He's the one that can change everything. Praise the Lord. There's a gentleman, Dennis Burke. He's a pretty well-known minister. He's one that I've respected for a number of years. He relates a story about a woman who visited heaven. I don't know exactly what the circumstances of her visit to heaven was, whether it was a dream, a vision, an out-of-body experience, exactly what it was. But she said one of the things that stood out pertained to the sense and the love and the honor that people have for one another there in heaven. She said that there were four things that were always part of every communication. Those four things were respect, kindness, compassion, and excellence. Respect, kindness, compassion, and excellence. So it was as if there's a code in a communications code in heaven. This heavenly code of communication lays out a powerful path for us here and now. So consider these. Respect, to highly esteem, to have a high opinion, or to give a proper acceptance or courtesy to another. Respecting one, even someone who is desperate, even someone who is different from you, even someone who's going through some kind of crisis, some kind of situation. Respect. When we respect, it opens the door, really, for minister. Kindness, a part of the fruit of the Spirit, to speak or show heartfelt benevolence. We really care about somebody, you know, to be kind to somebody. It can be the driving force in our life. Considerate, graceful, grateful. And putting that into the life of another person. Compassion, a deep sense of interest and empathy with others, to stand united with others facing a difficult situation. Jesus looked at the multitudes, the Bible says, and He looked at them and He saw them with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Someone that was wandering out there with no one to lead them. But now God has placed you in front of somebody. They placed you into somebody's life so that you could be the shepherd, in a sense, you know, the pastor, in a sense, that you can minister into the life of a person, to put them in green pastures, to lead them beside quiet waters, to restore their souls, to make them walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, we're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus here, right? And He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. So that really kind of brings us to the sense of how can we do this? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, because when He went to the Father, He sent the Holy Spirit so that He could put you in a place where you could have respect for people, you could have kindness and show kindness towards them, you could have compassion on their situation, even though, you know, sometimes we think, this person, you know, he just deserves what he's going through, because look at all the things that he did. But, you know, God doesn't look at it that way. Amen? He's not looking at, you deserve this. Because when we look at our own lives, what do we deserve? We didn't deserve His grace. We didn't deserve His favor. We didn't deserve His love. We didn't deserve His compassion. We didn't deserve His kindness. We didn't deserve any of it. But yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What an amazing Savior we have. Our minds probably can never comprehend that. But our hearts can get a hold of it, and we can share that with others, because it's the point of deliverance from every situation and circumstance that would take us into darkness. Praise the Lord. And then finally, the idea or the code of communication of excellence, choosing to take the high road, thinking the best and the highest. You know, aren't we all so often just tempted not to think the best of someone, not to speak the best of someone, just to let it all hang out and just say what we think and what we feel and what we're impressed with? But that's not God's way. His way is a way of excellence. He's not speaking down at you. He's lifting you up. He's uplifting you. He's upgrading you. He's putting you a place to be the righteousness of God in Him. And so you can be a different kind of a person and exude the excellence that He's given you. So those four things, respect, kindness, compassion, excellence, can come out of our communications with people. And this lady said that's how things are communicated in heaven. So, you know, if you don't like those kind of things here, you might not like heaven. Because this is how God is. He has respect. He's kind. He's full of compassion. And He has excellence that's unsurpassed. Amen? So it just kind of registered with me. This really makes sense, you know, what this lady saw, you know, how, and just thinking about how can we put that to work here? We can do it by loving, listening, discerning, respond. That's an awesome way to live, isn't it? Amen? It's not about going out on a third Saturday. It's about, this should be our lifestyle. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity every day when we come in casual contact with somebody, or if we have to work with somebody that rubs us the wrong way or has, you know, some rough edges. Just remember, we had some too. Still got some. God's still working on us. We're a work in progress. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But just imagine adopting heaven's way of communicating with one another and making sure that our conversations with loved ones and with co-workers reflect that kind of divine standard. Imagine what that could do to change how we live. Just thinking about, you know, the Bible says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways are higher than our ways. But it never said anywhere that we couldn't begin to think His thoughts, or that we couldn't adopt His ways and implement them in our lives. So God is encouraging us just to step up to the plate and let Him do big things, great things inside of us, so that we can be the kind of person who, instead of being the problem, we're the solution. We're bringing in solutions. We're bringing help and blessing into the lives of people. But naturally, you know, from the human standpoint, all of that's impossible. I mean, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, when we kind of start realizing, you know, humanly, just in my flesh, I'm not there. I don't have it. But we have a magnificent, uncommon edge over those who walk in the flesh. We have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Romans 8 says, now, verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, it doesn't deny there that you're in the flesh, because the only solution to not being in the flesh is to being in the grave, right? Because then the flesh will end. I mean, you can walk up to a dead man in a casket, slap him on the face. You know, he's not going to make any remarks back to you. He's not going to curse you. He's not going to cuss. He's not going to carry on. He's dead. He's not in the flesh anymore. That flesh is going into the earth. But there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So even though we're in the flesh here, we'll always be, and we'll have some struggles with our flesh, we do not have to walk in the flesh. And the blessing is walking in the Spirit instead of the flesh. So even though naturally from a flesh standpoint it's impossible, the laws of the Spirit of life, verse 2 says, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And because I'm free from the law of sin and death, I can be the kind of person that can love, listen, discern, respond to other people and be a blessing in their lives. Secondly, not only this, just look at this. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So part of coming to that place of uplifting and upgrading and uplifting is to come to the place where we see that we can set our minds on other things. You know, just think about just in this past week, perhaps, the opportunities that you've had and, you know, probably taken to think, just to set your minds on the things of the flesh. Because all around us in our lives, there are needs, there's stresses, there's problems, maybe there's struggle, relationship issues, you know, even in the family or in the church family or in people that you're working with. It's easy to get in the flesh and to set your mind on the things of the flesh because immediately our minds kick in. If she says that once more, if he does that one more time, it's just like, and then you name a list of people who he or she is just like. And what is that? It's setting our minds on the things of the flesh. It's not looking at how that person could be transformed by God, touched by his power, touched by his love, touched by his unconditional compassion for people. But lots of times we just set our minds on the things of the flesh instead of getting our minds on the things of the Spirit. But I'm sharing with you this morning a little secret, not a little secret, it's a huge secret, that to get through those situations and circumstances that challenge us is to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And if we can do that, we can truly upgrade and uplift and walk in uprightness. Amen. Praise the Lord. So verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded or flesh minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the secret to life and peace. So sometimes we think, you know, wow, there's no peace anywhere. I mean, you know, we live in an upside down world where people are at war, where people are displaced. 60 million people today have no home because they've been ripped out of their homes or they've been driven from their homes by war, by famine, by all kinds of things happening, and there isn't any sense of peace in the world. The headlines are full of war. The headlines are full of trouble. The headlines are full of problems. But yet the Bible says that we can have great peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. How can we have that? It's to be spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, sometimes folks say, get a life. Well, here it is. You can get a life. You can have life. Life and peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. Then thirdly, here's why you and I can adopt this kind of lifestyle. In verse 10, Romans 8 verse 10, says, if Christ is in you, the Messiah, the one who is that God sent into the world, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, the flesh can die off. Pinch your flesh and say, you can die. You see, our flesh doesn't have to control us.
Amen.
If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but, everybody say but? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. Something that you cannot buy, something you cannot earn, something you did not deserve. It's yours because you become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's the miracle of salvation. It's the miracle of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to make you, to transform your carnal life into a life in the Spirit because of his Spirit. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he quickens, he brings life to your death-bound body. Amen? Praise the Lord. In fact, that's what it says there in verse 11, that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal or death-bound bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Everybody say, through his Spirit.
Through his Spirit.
So you can see what was shared earlier about, I guess Rivka was sharing from John chapter 16 about Jesus saying, you know, it's better if I go and leave you, because if I do not leave you, I cannot send to you that other comforter. It's so important to realize that the miracle of the new birth opened the world of the Spirit to every believer who would, as she said so well, believe and receive. If we believe, we can receive the fullness of Him who dwells, who brings the fruit of everything into our lives. Praise the Lord. So those three things that are pointed out there, there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and setting your mind on the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh, and then adopting the kind of lifestyle where you're dead to your flesh and alive to righteousness by the Spirit of God who dwells in you. Those things are manifested in your life through the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are divine qualities that come into the life of a person through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living God. And the Holy Spirit is then guiding you and leading you into the habit of allowing those qualities to become a way of life. It's heaven's manner of conduct, and it's now revealed to me and to you in this life and manifested in an awesome way. But that's not all. There's also the gifts of the Spirit. He's so important. He is essential. He's not optional. We've got to have Him, because with Him we begin to have the fruit of the Spirit. In Him we begin to manifest and begin to be able to use the gifts of the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, it gives the gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All of those supernatural qualities and abilities of the Holy Spirit are given to take the limits off of our ability to minister to people, our ability to do life with people, our ability to love people, and they empower us to live beyond those limits. That's what the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are designed to do in the life of a believer. And so it's awesome. You know, it's no wonder that churches and some religious people fight against this, because it's the devil's design to destroy the church, is to take those things out of the life of a believer and to just leave you back in the flesh. So as we look to God, we can step out and go beyond our limits. We had an interesting experience just yesterday at the luncheon. Feeding the Nations had a luncheon to share with the folks some of the things that we're doing around the world. And after the luncheon, I guess during the luncheon, this woman came up to Pastor Karen and said, was that your husband that zapped me last night? And she said, I don't know what happened to you, but anyway, so this woman comes up to us after the luncheon. After the luncheon, she came and we were just getting ready to leave. We were supposed to be at the engagement dinner and we needed to leave. And this lady's coming up and she's talking to us. And she said, "What did you do to me yesterday?" I said, "Well, I don't think I did anything to you yesterday." She says, "You zapped me." She says, I'm this nice little Baptist lady and I come to this church and you zapped me. And I said, well, I think maybe just the Holy Spirit wanted to touch your life. And she's not angry about this. She's smiling. She's just saying, what happened to me? What happened to me here? What had happened was the lady who was ministering, this lady that's preached in 153 nations, she invited Pastor Karen and I to help pray for the line. She had invited people up for prayer. And so when I went to pray for some people, the first lady, she just spun around and crashed to the floor. I mean, I wasn't really expecting it, and the ushers weren't expecting it. And then the second lady, the same thing. And then I came to this lady, and I just laid my hands on her. I said, "Receive." And I didn't push or anything. I actually did it like this instead of like this. And she started shaking, and she said, "What happened to me?" She said, I couldn't stand up. Can you explain to me what happened to me? I couldn't stand up." And then she went on to tell us that she had been diagnosed with cancer, and that her cancer was actually in her jaw and in her face. And the doctors were saying it was stage 4, and there wasn't anything really they could do to help her except to give her painkillers. And she said, "But I read in the Bible that Jesus is the healer." And she said, my Baptist friends, they're telling me that I shouldn't go to this church because, you know, they speak in those funny languages and all of those kind of things. I should not go there because it's a dangerous place to go." And she said, "And then I come to this church and you zap me." But God is a good God. Amen. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live in a place where we can bring kindness and compassion and respect and excellence to people and to show them there's a better way. So I talked to her about Matthew chapter 8. You know, the leper came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me well." And Jesus said, "I am willing." I said, "When you settle that in your life, that Jesus is willing to heal you, you can receive. You can receive mighty things from God." So I said, "I'm expecting to hear the rest of this story." She said, "Well, I'm 73 years old, and I don't think it's my time to go yet. And I think God has lots of things for me to do yet." And I said, "You're right, lady. You are right, because God brought healing to you and blessing to you. Praise the Lord." So we'll be looking for a good report. Okay, so we're gonna break up into small groups for just a few minutes to talk about those scriptures of love that you had from 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to come back and wrap up and pray for you. And God's going to do awesome things. But just think about those scriptures as you talk together in your small groups about how God wants to impact your life, how you can make some observations, some applications, and then pray for one another. God bless you. Glad that in spite of our imperfections, our flaws, and all of those other things, he's still a good Father.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are good, yes, that your mercies do endure forever, yes, that they're new this morning and fresh this morning, and great is your faithfulness. We just praise you for it in Jesus' name. You can be seated. So, just to bring a little wrap up to our message this morning, the Holy Spirit, he's our comforter, he's our encourager, he's the one who's lifting us up, he's the one who gives us the upgrade and the uplift, amen,
yes, amen,
so that we can be upright,
yes,
praise God. And we talked a little bit just at the end about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit, you know, fruit in your life, it's not for you, it's for somebody else.
Amen.
Somebody else can come to the tree and pick the fruit. Amen. So those are the ways that God manifests himself through us into the lives of others. But then the gifts of the Spirit are basically ministry tools, if you were, or ministry giftings, so that you can minister into the lives of people. And sometimes, you know, we would like to have this gift or that other gift or this one, you know, because we're enamored by, you know, someone who has a gifting, and we just like, wow, I just wish I had that gift. But the Bible does say we should covet the best gifts, right?
Amen.
So what's the best gift? The best gift is the one you need at the time you're ministering to somebody. Amen. So it's a good thing that God's in charge, because he knows what the best gifts are and he knows how to put them in place just so that you can have that when you're ministering to someone. And it's so important to allow the Holy Spirit then to use you. So many times you think, well, it's just me thinking, but yet it's God speaking through you and to you that, you know, this is it. And a lot of times we ignore just because we're insecure about our not so much our relationship with Him, but our ability to hear His voice clearly. And we don't know exactly, is this really God or is this me? And we're testing those things out. But God can be very, 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 very accurate when He's speaking to you, when you're ministering to somebody. And I want to illustrate that, you know, because sometimes the sometimes we just, you know, we know that God can, but we don't know necessarily that He will, you know, speak in those ways, in so such clear ways to you. So I'm going to illustrate that, because sometimes the gifts of the Spirit, He gives, like, they're mixed. Like, for instance, you can get a word of knowledge, which is just something that you know you wouldn't have any other way of knowing about anybody. Like, for instance, when I was ministering to the lady I just spoke about, wasn't getting that she had cancer or any of those other kind of things. I didn't even really know why she came up in the prayer line, but I ministered to her anyway. And I just sensed that God said, tell her to receive. And she did. I mean, she just, like, it was like pulling tangible power out, and she was receiving. But sometimes you might get a word of knowledge, and it can be, you know, God revealing to you something that will minister into the life of a person. And I want to illustrate that with this video with somebody that most of you know, many of you know, Josh Hawkins. A few years ago, he came here. He was going through some really tough times in his life. He was between secular career and going into the ministry. And some things happened, and it didn't happen just exactly like he wanted. But he stayed with us for a year, and it was really a year for me. It was such a blessing because I was in so much pain. I was hurting. I couldn't lie down. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't sit without pain. I had just, like, some back issues going on. And for that whole year he was here, he just, like, picked me up, and he stepped into the pulpit and stepped in and was worshiping God and, you know, being an encouragement and being a help. And he was going through stuff himself, you know, just it was a crazy time. But now he's a pastor and a minister. And I just want you to see the accuracy of when he went to a conference and somebody ministered to him. Just watch this.
I'm trying to think. I have two things, but I'm going to shoot for one. So I have been getting this. I think it's an address. So I hope you know where you guys live. It's 601, does that mean anything to anybody? 601 North Coldwater Street.
Oh my gosh.
This is going to really sound weird, but are you from Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's from Indiana address.
Yeah, it's the
what is that?
My church.
It's
church
your church.
Yeah.
Okay, this is awesome. April 1st, 2016, something significant happened to you.
April 1st, 2016 was when I became the pastor of that church.
Yes! Is Rachel a daughter or a wife?
It's my wife.
And then your daughter is Lily, then.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I have been praying for you guys since the very beginning of the conference. I knew I was going to call out a pastor. Have you been to Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll see you. Okay. Is your church in Fremont?
Yeah.
It's not California. It's in Indiana, correct?
Okay.
Guys, his breakthrough is our breakthrough. So, and Josh. You guys celebrated an anniversary last year, 18 years?
Yeah.
August?
July 31st.
July, August, oh, July?
The last day of July.
Last day of July. Okay, yeah. Cool. Thank you, God. You know, I think you've been, since you said April 1st, 2016, this is probably like a couple years you've been a pastor in this church. Two, 3 years.
Two.
Yeah. There's something that God's doing in your church. I've been feeling, sensing like this hunger in you. You paid a price to be here. And your church and your wife, they paid a price for you to be here, to be able to be here.
Yes.
And I see a thankful and grateful heart in you.
Yes.
And so that's probably the most important thing that you could do, is that staying thankful and staying grateful, because I know that there are things in your church right now are in seed form.
Yeah.
But they're going to bear fruit in due time.
Yeah.
And you're going to see it happen. Yeah. There's an area of, I wrote down prayer and the prophetic, that is really, really strong in your life, and that you would want, and you want your church to be involved in it.
Yes.
And so this scripture is what I got for you when I was praying for you, is in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love me, him. Let me tell you, okay, we need to extend our hands to Josh, because right now is we're making history as a body, as a prophetic community. We are saying we lend our strength to you, and we partner with what God's doing in your church, what he's doing in you and through you. And so right now, I declare fire over your stomach. So if somebody can lay hands on his stomach right now, I just release fire, and I just release the fanning of the flame. There's a fire in there, and God's going to put the wind of his spirit through you and in your church coming from here. That it's going to release that such a great awakening in your church and in your area. Because this is really significant. You know, like, God's heart and love is so extravagant, but he wants cities and regions to be transformed through you. And so I want to bless you with that. And I pray this for every single person. May you gain everything. May you get everything that you came here for and more. You have more than enough to bring back to Indiana.
See accuracy like that in word of knowledge, but that's pretty accurate. Yes. Yeah, in just a second, okay? I'm going to wrap up and then we'll do that. So what's all this about? Well, Acts 1:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that you will be witnesses. That's what it's about. Amen? It isn't so we can say, okay, I've got this gift, I zapped this lady, I did this, I did that. It's for you to be a witness to the ends of the earth. And the ends of the earth start in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, in this city, in the neighborhoods of this city. That's our mission field, but it doesn't stop there, because you know, the Bible says, go ye, and ye isn't a little Chinese man somewhere. It's you. It's you. Everybody say, it's me. That's King James Version. I know, I get that. It doesn't work everywhere, but it works in America. So, you're to go. So, sometimes we put lids on ourselves and we say, I couldn't, I don't like to fly, I don't like to, whatever we don't like to do, I don't like to travel, I don't sleep when I'm away from home. We've got 1,000 excuses why we don't go ye. But none of those excuses really hold any water. The reality is if God's called us to do something and told us to do something, it's our responsibility to do. And then ask questions later. And when you do, when you step out like that, God will make the provision. He will give you the boldness. And you have the Holy Spirit to equip you with everything that you need to succeed in the mission that he sent you on. And I want to end with this scripture from Isaiah chapter 54. It says in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. And do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So that's some instruction that Isaiah
God through Isaiah is giving to each of us is that he has a part to play, but too many times we're waiting for him to do everything. But there are some things that you need to do, some things I need to do. We need to enlarge the place. So enlarging the place starts with our heart. We have to have a big heart to receive the multitudes that Jesus is sending our way. We need to enlarge that place so that we can receive all that he has sent to us. He said, go make disciples. That means we have to have a heart to love those people, to have compassion and kindness and all of those things we talked about, effectively communicating the gospel this morning. Verse 3 says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants shall inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. There's a clash of the kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And that age-old war has to be first conquered in our personal lives. And when we win the war there, then we can take the war to the streets. And we can do the things that God has called us to do. When we diligently lay hold of his abilities, we discover the powers of the age to come available through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He is so essential to us. We've got to have him moving in our lives. And it's not about you being perfect. It's about you being willing and obedient. The Bible says those who are willing and obedient will taste the good of the land. Then all that's left is to rest in his ability. You know, sometimes, you know, we just stress about everything, you know. But we've got to rest in his ability that's in us, because he lives in us. And then we can step out and be faithful. And he can do amazing things through us. Amen?
Amen.
So let's stand. And Ellie, come and give the what God has shown you. And then we're going to pray for him. If you need prayer this morning, want prayer, desire prayer this morning, we're going to pray for anybody who wants to be prayed for. I promise not to zap you unless the Holy Spirit does something to you. It's not up to me anyway.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.